Hello, this is Frankly Speaking, an informational exchange of problems and issues of relevance to people everywhere. Today's program addresses the subject of continuing education for women. I'm Stephanie Hopkins for George Mason University, and before I introduce our panelists, I'd like for you to meet Fern Koch. Fern is a re-entry student at George Mason, and she's taking a non-degree graduate program towards her Virginia teacher certification.
In order to re-enter, you have to decide, be it because of a crisis or before a crisis, that you have made a commitment. If it is not a crisis that asks you to make these new choices, then you, in fact, have to, within your own mind, know what you're looking for. And there are times we all get discouraged, but I think with encouragement and support, you can complete what you have decided to be as your original task. I think that women have so many dual roles that they're struggling with before entering school, that the added complication of going back to school and the time it's going to take make it more difficult for a woman. The job markets being what they are, people are anxious to have that security. If I go back to school, am I going to have a job when I'm finished? Teaching, social work, business administration, these are all areas that don't have any guarantee that you will have a job after pursuing this school program. And that is often a concern and I'm sure a frustration for many people.
Like Fern Koch, our panelists are also concerned about continuing education for women. Donna Bufundo, acting coordinator of the BIS program at George Mason University. Charlotte Stannard from the Counseling Center. She's coordinator of reentry student programs and study skills service. And Ken Plum from the Department of Vocational Adult and Community Education in Fairfax County. Exactly what is continuing education?
Continuing education, Stephanie, to cover the broad range of programs and services that are available to people in Fairfax County, we would have to define as being really programs for persons beyond what would normally be public school instruction. For what we find is that when people decide to continue their education, they sometimes do it for personal kinds of reasons, their own avocational interest or whatever, but they also do it for vocational purposes, and hence they seek job training and skill development and so on. And sometimes they too seek a change in their lifestyle, the role change for themselves, and hence go back for more education. Continuing education plays a major role for women these days because of the societal changes that we've undergone that recognizes that women may in their lifetime serve many different roles, and those roles may change with time.
Charlotte, you're involved in the reentry student programs. How does that relate to women who are re-entering college for the first or the second time?
Well, at George Mason University, the program that we have is tailored to help support women who are re-entering school. It's basically an information network and a support service, and it's staffed by peer counselors who are also re-entering students, and so they have the know-how and they have the expertise, and it's a really good feeling for a reentry woman to be able to come in and talk to someone who has been through the program or been through the job of returning to the university.
Donna, I noticed that you're coordinator for the BIS program. Could you give us some information?
The BIS stands for the Bachelor of Individualized Study, and it is in fact George Mason's degree program for adults only. It's designed really for two particular groups. The first being a person whose educational goals simply cannot be met through a traditional program in place here at the university. A person, for example, who wants to cross disciplines, for example. A person who, one of our students, for example, is a majoring in 18th century medicine. He draws courses through many different departments. It also gives a person an opportunity to learn through non-conventional modes of instruction. The second group that the program is designed for are people who, for a variety of reasons, have never been able to put all of their credits together in one place and earn a degree. And the program does indeed serve quite a few women in that capacity.
What type of woman is actually re-entering school at this particular time?
On the one hand, you have those people who have taken on the traditional life roles, wife, mother, and now children are leaving home. Options then are open to have time to seek something outside the home. You also have those many people who are in circumstances where the life role changes because of death, divorce, separation, whatever, where then decisions have to be made to become the breadwinner for oneself or for one's family, and seeking changes there. And then, of course, you have those young people who have gone through regular school programs who decide very early on that they're going to seek some options for themselves by way of careers or by way of pursuing avocational interests as well.
Is it easier for a woman to re-enter and come back for a continuing education prior to a crisis?
The question is a difficult one. It would certainly be true. I think what one has to recognize in planning for re-entry programs is that you're not only talking about providing programs that provide the skill training or pursuing the particular study interest, but rather also you're talking about the necessity for support. Now, that support can come in two fashions. It can come in the fashion of a person who has consciously made the decision outside of a crisis to seek re-entry opportunities. And there you're talking about support by way of building up confidence, support by way of having one realize the alternatives that are available. And then, of course, obviously within a crisis situation, you're talking about a support network to both get over the crisis as well as get into whatever the reentry program might be. But I think that's largely what you're doing in your program, isn't it, Charlotte?
People really coming in a crisis would have a lot of difficulty probably with anything that they enter. On the other hand, motivation, if you're in a crisis, you sometimes tend to be very highly motivated. Mm-hmm. And we find that single parents, and we have a lot of single parents who are returning to school, they seem to be highly motivated, and probably you could say a lot of their situation is probably crisis. That may make for the motivation.
On the Bachelor of Individualized Study, do you have people that are predominantly the younger age student, that is the 18-year-old coming directly from high school, or are you gearing more towards the older generation?
Indeed, we are gearing our program more toward the older generation. As a matter of fact, the program is designed for those who have been out of high school at least 8 years. The reason why we have made this sort of guideline is because for a person to make a decision to go in the direction of a non-traditional degree, they have to have had some exposure to continuing their education. And it takes a great deal of wisdom and a very informed decision to go this route. And we really feel that it's inappropriate for an 18 to 21-year-old student to go in this direction.
Can you gain credit for life experiences or other study outside of the university?
Yes, indeed you can. That's what makes the program non-traditional. As I mentioned in my earlier comments this morning, the program is interdisciplinary, but it also provides opportunity for people to earn credit for things other than sitting in a classroom. And that's why it really has so much merit for the returning woman, who can take courses through correspondence and stay right in the home, who could in fact take television courses and stay in the home, who in fact can get credit for some of the life work types of experiences that they have had. And very often when a woman does come in to talk with me about how she would qualify for this kind of credit, I have noticed that women have a tendency to put their skills down, and they fail to realize, for example, that they have learned so much from managing a home, from time management especially, and strategies that housewives and mothers have to kind of develop for themselves. There isn't any reason at all why a person can't put this together and have it validated for credit in that particular way.
I would think also things like budgeting and accounting.
Absolutely.
Would come into play.
An interesting person with whom I dealt recently was a State Department wife who has had to evacuate from three countries in her life. You can imagine the competence that one must gain from going through this kind of thing to completely build, pack up home, family, and all kinds of feelings that go into experiences of this sort really have broadened her perspective a great deal.
Is continuing education a new thing? Has it been around for many years?
I think continuing education in recent years has come into its own, for we have come to realize that life is not as simple as the fact that you go to school and then you go to work and life is happily as happy ever thereafter, but rather, in fact, because we have a mobile population, because we have changing circumstances within our own lives, because technology makes so many different changes and so on, it's necessary to continue one's education. And I'm very pleased to see the way that institutions of higher education have responded to that, and the BIS would be certainly a good example of that.
I see it extremely important for women, because women have traditionally stopped their education to have families, or because there were limited finances in the family, and so the money went to educate maybe the breadwinner of the family. So they traditionally have had to stop out of their education, and continuing education is perfect because they can stop back in very easily.
I think we probably ought to say a word, too, about the range of continuing education opportunities available. Degree programs are certainly very critically important as a part of it, but I would not want one to think in listening to the program that you would have to necessarily invest 2, 3, 4 years into programs. For you can at the public school level through adult education, you can through community college programs, and you can through George Mason University continuing education programs invest smaller amounts of time and smaller amounts of dollars in short-term courses that provide both an overview of what educational opportunities, work opportunities, volunteer opportunities might be, from which you can then see the alternatives from which further decisions may be made, and also, too, if one is in a crisis situation, you can take short-term courses that have very immediate occupational goals so that with a short-term investment of time, also you can seek continuing education. So the range is rather broad in our community, from counseling services available through both mental health centers and through institutions, and then short and long-term and degree programs.
I'm pleased that you did qualify that too, Ken, because I really think it would be well right now to point out to the audience that George Mason does have a very well-functioning extended studies enrollment program. This is what we call it. Basically, what it is, it's an opportunity for people who do not have degree objectives. Some, of course, do, but nevertheless, many do not. They want to just kind of test out the water. I think it's especially good opportunity for a woman returning to education, because it's an opportunity to see how much she feels she can handle. And very often a woman will come in, and one of the hallmarks, I think, of this program is the individual attention and the support that one gets in a one-on-one basis from the counselor to the actual enrollee. And it's a good opportunity for that woman to just kind of see how she can manage this one course with the other roles that she has to play in life. And then she can make her own decision about whether she's ready or whether she's just going to stay and continue doing that exactly that.
You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public affairs program about issues and interests of concern to people everywhere. I'm Stephanie Hopkins for George Mason, the State University in Northern Virginia.
I have been doing so much volunteer work, both in the religious community and the school community, that I felt it was time to motivate myself intellectually and put this kind of time to more productive use. You must establish priorities. Many of the things that seemed of utmost importance in the past go by the wayside. And once the priorities are established, you are able to cope. The time element is difficult, but you spend a different kind of time. My advice would be to be your own person. That you have to do what you're most comfortable with and try to adjust it and acclimate it to your lifestyle. it does take a great deal of time away from the family. It does take time away from many other items that you used to consider of utmost importance. You have to do what is best for you and try to fit it in. The family can help by cooperating and trying to understand what mom is trying to do.